Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man. It's on sale at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever.
Keeping both the baby and the bathwater, it's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The grass is greener under this Medicare podcast. He sips tea with his pinky finger extended. It's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. It's another exciting episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. I'm so glad to be here and to have you, ladies and gentlemen, with me. Welcome. Welcome. We're here to enliven the whole prospect of your Medicare encounter. I'm assuming that you're going to have a Medicare encounter at some point in the future. Otherwise, why would you be listening to this podcast? Or maybe it's just the humor, the good humor with which we approach the subject of Medicare. But you have come to the right place. If you're looking for some Medicare knowledge, some support, some comfort, some, well, my computer screen went blank for a second. If you're looking for a happier encounter with Medicare than some others might have, then you've come to the right place, because that's what we're here for. That's what I come to the table with, and I offer that to you, the listening audience, if you choose to take it. Now, what's happening is that people who are approaching Medicare typically get confused, don't really know what the proper procedures are, don't know what the regulations are, and are trepidatious about the whole process. And often they volunteer as victims for Medicare Advantage salesmen. They wind up in the hands of the evildoers, and they are ill-used by those evildoers, and they come out the other side with very, very few options, but often they don't know any better. They don't know there's a whole wonderful world of Medicare freedom available if they had just not been lied to by the evildoers. So I suggest that anybody approaching Medicare buy a copy of my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023, and that will guide you in the most beneficial path to crossing into Medicare. It'll offer you the opportunity to take advantage of all the freedom that our country has to offer within this government program that is otherwise confusing and often scary. So how do you buy my book? Well, you go to BarnesandNoble.com or you go to Amazon.com, and in the search window, you punch in Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023. Don't forget the numbers, because otherwise you might wind up with an older version of the book, and what you want is the most current one. So at that point, you'll have a few decisions to make. If you've gone to Amazon, you can have the Audible version. You can have the ebook. Kindle version, you can have the paperback version, or you can have the magnificent museum quality hardcover version. They're all different prices depending on your budget. I know you'll find one that will be a very good fit with your loose cash, the change you might have found under your car seat, or, frankly, if you're feeling generous, you want to give somebody a gift, I would suggest going for that museum quality $22 hardcover book. But if you're just shopping for yourself, the paperback seems to be the most popular. That's an $8 item, and I believe you'll be well served by whichever edition of my book you purchase. So by all means, if you're looking at Medicare, you need to know more about it, I think you've got a good resource in Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023. And I have an excellent resource in one Randy Carson, who is sitting right across the screen from me, just preparing to start pushing buttons and twisting dials. Good morning, Randy. How are things?
I'm pushing buttons and twisting dials because, after all, that is what I get paid for.
And that's right.
Doug told me the other day I was gonna ask him if this was true. He was gonna double my salary. Is that true?
Well, here's the problem with that. It was a nice thought, but then I sobered up and looked at my email. And this email came in. It's from PayPal. And I got to read this to you because you're an expert in computer stuff. It says, in regard to application approved, and it's on PayPal stationery. And it's, let's see, May of 2023, Washington, D.C., order number. It's got this big, long order number. Status, completed. And then the body of the text is, your online PayPal transaction was successful. We started working on your order after receiving it. Within 24 hours, a notice from PayPal Coinbase Inc. indicating that money has been taken out of your or taken out will appear in your account. And then it goes on to give me all kinds of transaction IDs. Item is Bitcoin. And apparently the total amount is $428.99. I think this thing is saying that I bought a bunch of Bitcoin. If that's true, Randy, if I actually got liquored up, didn't know what I was doing and used my PayPal account to buy a bunch of Bitcoin, then I don't remember it, A, and B, there goes your raise right out the window.
Darn it. Oh my gosh. I gotta tell you, it's probably a scam. It's absolutely a scam, but long story short is don't click on anything.
Yeah. I was going to say, how did they scam me? I mean, I know that it's a scam, but I don't know how they expect to benefit from having sent me this, message.
Well, what happens is there's probably something in the email that says, click here and let us know that, you know, what your account number is so we can, you know, be sure and do this and do that and do the other thing. And obviously that's going to go right to a bad spot. And then you are going to give them information that they will be able to really take your money.
Well, I don't have anything to click on. I can't find anything in the message to click on, but it does prominently ask me to call an 800 number if I have any questions. So I guess it's a phishing kind of thing, huh?
Yeah, well, those 800 numbers, that's another way to get in your knickers, because if you call that number, it's a true 800 number, but ultimately what happens is when you call it, it's a situation where it will reverse the charge back to you, and the per minute charge is about $8 million a minute.
Oh boy, I don't want them in my knickers to that extent, so I'm just going to throw away this message and assume that I never received it. How's that?
That is the best course of action.
Well, see, we're doing a public service here today. The only victim, the only negative aspect of this whole transaction that we just went through is the fact that you didn't get your raise. So
I didn't. And I was really looking forward to that. But, you know, I get zero now. So when you double zero, what do you get?
Let's see. Let me get my calculator out and I'll work on that. I'll do some cipher and I'll get back to you later on.
I'm
pretty excited. I got a piece of mail for yesterday, this is, and so it happens to be on top of the stack because it came in most recently. But I thought this was an excellent use of the chat feature that you put on my website. So when people go to the website, if they look into the right-hand side of it, it says Get Started with Doug or something like that. I keep thinking we should change it to make it a little more clear as to what people should do. But on the chat, somebody left a message, and this person's name is Chris. And he said, I am an insurance agent in Oklahoma, and I want to know if I can use your book as a reference in helping the seniors in my area to find the best plan for their situation. And then he says, without infringing on your original work. And I guess he's not a lawyer because he doesn't know whether that would be a violation of copyright law or not, if he happened to purchase a book and then use it as a guide for his clientele. And then he went on to say, also, thank you for your podcast as well. I listened to them to and from work every day, along with the conservative podcasters, to get to the facts about the government in my one-hour drive each day. They are entertaining as well as informative, so thank you for doing them. What a nice guy, huh? And I didn't know, because... Go ahead.
That is a very nice comment. I wished I could get more of those every day, but this guy is obviously a gentleman and a scholar.
Absolutely. And we weren't sure. Mary and I were talking about this, and his name is Chris. And so she said, oh, I bet it's a woman. And I said, oh, boy, I'm never that lucky. And so I went to his insurance agency website, and sure enough, he's a dude in Muskogee, Oklahoma, USA, where they don't, they don't smoke marijuana down by the courthouse. I don't know. I'd have to go back and look at my lyrics from the 1970s. But in any event, I said to him, I would be proud to have you use my book to help you in your mission. Thanks very much for your kind words about the podcast. You can expect to hear yourself quoted in an upcoming podcast episode.
I love that name. So I think we ought to have Chris from Muskogee.
Yeah, there you go.
He's going to be a repeat. He's going to be a repeat visitor, at least on the podcast.
Well, I know his clients are probably going to be well served if they're using, if he's using my book as a guide to assist his clientele. Then I know they're probably going to get pretty good advice from Chris. So good luck, Chris. Nice talking to you, and hang in there, because if you're just starting out, it takes a while to build up enough revenue to make it worthwhile. But I'm rooting for you. Mary and I were talking about something else that she put into the pile of content to be curated. As you may recall, I've got a curation assistant now that curates all the content that I want to use on the podcast, so I don't have to curate so much anymore, because I got to tell you, curation ain't as easy as it's cracked up to be. So anyway, she, for some reason, got into the Wayback Machine and withdrew a recollection about her original enrollment in Medicare. And she was reminded of her experience because she overheard me speaking with a potential client, or a future client, in Georgia. And I was explaining to him that, well, if you go online and go to this website and start the enrollment process, you may or may not be able to finish it right then. It may or may not be convenient, because ever since we had COVID start, it seems like all of these Social Security Administration offices operate differently. And all of my new clients that say, okay, I'm going to enroll in Medicare now, wind up having different experiences. Sometimes it goes very smoothly. Sometimes it's accomplished very quickly. And other times it gets dragged out, and I don't know why. I mean, if somebody makes a mistake with their application online, they often don't know it, so they can't explain to me what they might have done wrong. And so Mary's going, well, it was a piece of cake for me. I don't know why all these other people are having trouble. And all I can say is, well, I think COVID changed a lot of things. These offices used to have an ironclad method handed down from the federal capital in Washington, D.C., but I think COVID allowed them all to change and operate in their own methodology. And so one office might be totally easy to deal with, and another office might be difficult. I know that during the COVID panic, there were some offices where nobody came in. Like one person would come in to sort mail, but all the other people were working from home. So I don't know if we're past all that, but I believe there's still flexibility that's hard to explain in the enrollment process, the Medicare Part A and Part B enrollment. So anyway, Mary gave me something, put it in the curation pile to talk about. And she says, this is talking about signing up for Medicare and with the phone conversation confusion that you had with your new client. So this is from, it's correspondence that I had back in about a year ago from a woman in Washington State. Her name is Sandy, and she's a lot of fun to correspond with. But I'm going to try to read this in the order that we accomplished it. A year ago, I said to her, I think that is a wise decision and will work out well for you in the long run. What did she say? She said, I'll be signing up for Medicare later today and getting that form, which is the CMS L-564, get it started with my husband's employer. I'm assuming that I'll need the Medicare identifier number for the drug plan. So we'll hold off until I get that number. And of course, we'll let you know as soon as I have that number too. And I said, Sandy, I think that's a wise decision. That'll work out well for you in the long run. However, you still have time to reconsider if you wish. Okay, I think I'm responding to a prior conversation. Okay. When the coronavirus panic started, the Social Security Administration removed the requirement for a signature on that form. That form that she mentioned a minute ago is the one where the employer vouches for their having been covered by the employer group plan and that it is a creditable source of coverage. And I said, I don't think signatures are required on that form anymore. So I said, unless it's very easy to obtain, please tell your husband not to go to a whole lot of trouble. Unfortunately, I think the Medicare identifier is often conferred near the end of the process. If they confirm a June 1st Medicare start date, that will be all I need to spring into action with the carrier you've chosen for your Medicare supplement. I can give them the number in a follow-up call. And she said, just an update. I finally got signed up for Medicare, but it wasn't an easy process. This was because you have to have an online My Social Security account in order to sign up for Medicare online. But I haven't been able to access My Social Security account online since 2013 because a part-time employer that I had in 2012 and 2013 failed to file their W-2s. When I requested a mailed copy of my Social Security statement, I discovered that the 2012 wages from that employer had not been posted. So then I had to be able to access my online account. Since then, I have not been able to access my online account. I guess this is very poor print. Ink running out, I'm pretty sure. I guess because Social Security Administration must have flagged my account or something, and because of the W-2 snafu, I've had to get snail-mailed Social Security statements ever since that time. Anyhow, I finally got access to my SSA online account again, but I doubt that I can make the June 1st effective date, so that's the update for now. And then, let's see, I said, thanks very much for the update. I had thoughts of using your ordeal as content for an instructive podcast episode, but I realize now that it's unlikely that anyone else has had that frustrating experience. So I don't know if that's true or not. Maybe a podcast could let people know that they have to have an online SSA account to even sign up for Medicare online. So that's something that they can get going well in advance. In other words, just go to the Medicare.gov and it'll ask you, would you like to open an account? It'll say, would you like to sign in or open an account, I think. And this woman is saying, that's the first thing you should do if you're headed towards enrollment in Medicare, is make sure you have that account open and ready to go. So the whole point of this discussion was to take her advice and offer it to you, the listening audience, to say that the Medicare online account is going to be necessary. So if you open that up before you start the enrollment process, she's saying it'll ease the process for you. What I tell people over and over again is they think they have to wait to receive their Medicare card in the mail before they know what their Medicare identifier is. And I say, nope, the most important document that has all the necessary information to move forward with your supplemental insurance policies will come in the form of what they call a benefit verification letter. And that letter will describe every element they have about dealing with you. And that will include the Medicare start date for Part A, the Medicare start date for Part B, and the Medicare identifier, which is a big, long alphanumeric number for you alone. It's yours alone. Now, when we have the document that gives you those pieces of information, that's every bit as good as a Medicare card. In fact, you could take that to a doctor or a hospital and say, see, I'm covered for Medicare. And here's the proof right from the government. It's less convenient than a card might be, but it is, it's got the same factual information. It's from the same source. So it's every bit as good as a Medicare card. So Mary wanted me to share that with you, that it's easier in many cases to do all that on the telephone than it is to do it online. But if you have to do it online, you should start your account. Start with step one being the Medicare account that they ask you when you go to Medicare.gov. It's one of the first things that you'll see flash on the screen. Okay, here's another little blurb that I discovered, and I asked the curator to curate for our podcast episodes. This is a tragic story. You know, it used to be that airline stewardesses, and I still call them stewardesses, and certain other librarians, there were some kind of naughty librarians occasionally that you would meet, and nurses were always the object of a young boy's fantasy. And this is, I have fond memories of nurses when I was growing up, but this story kind of splashes cold water on a young boy's love of the nursing profession. In the spring of 2019, a curious piece of information landed at the FBI's Baltimore field office. Informant said that for about $17,000, a recruiter in Laurel, Maryland, had offered to provide a diploma and a fake transcript from a Florida nursing school, along with tutoring for the nurse licensing exam, without the need to actually take the courses or receive clinical training. There's a bunch of fake nurses running around out there, ladies and gentlemen, and that's a scary thing for those of us that may wind up in the hospital at some point. It was, Randy was in the hospital in 2021 because of COVID. I was in the hospital in 2015 because of a femoral popliteal bypass in one leg. And it's a scary thought to think that the nurses might have been fakes. Now, I don't know where a fake nurse gets a uniform. I guess there are uniform stores you can go to. But this is this article has basically got the FBI involved in tracking down nurses, and it's resulted in the indictment of 25 fake nurses, or 25 people who have actually taken bribes in order to provide credentials, fake credentials for the fake nurses. So I just wanted you to be aware of that. There were 10 people have reached plea agreements. This is not a new article, but it's something that is disturbing to me. So I wanted to let you know that it might still be going on. If I were more enterprising, I might have thought about that. I'm too honest. But to start up a school for nurses sounds like a lot of fun. And if you can get them to pay you, and you can figure out how to get them to pass the nursing exam and get them over to the uniform store, all of a sudden you got a bunch of fake nurses. So watch out for that. And Andy, I keep calling you Andy today. I don't know what's going on, but I'm looking at the clock, and it seems like we might have heard the crickets already. Is that true?
We did. We heard the crickets. I caught them before they got on the air, but they definitely chirped a couple, 3 minutes ago.
Well, in that case,
we're out of time.
Yeah, that's what I was about to ask you. And so I'm going to stop my clock and allow you to take over.
That cube clock is working so well, Doug.
The cube clock has gone to its greater reward. I'm now back to my original oven timer.
it just tickles me when you go, did you hear that? No.
Oh, boy.
Oh, dear. Well, anyway, we have spent our 75. Now, yesterday, or no, what was it? Last week, I actually bought a dollar's worth of time, and now we're back to 75 cents. So,
you know, you're a budget buster. If you could keep a lid on the expenditures, I think the stockholders would certainly be happier. The Medicare for the Lazy Man stockholders.
I can definitely attest to that part. So, anyway, we need to sign off and close the shop up. land the plane. I'm losing control of all my electronics here. But anyway, we do want to thank you all, because we wouldn't have nearly as much fun without you as we do with you. So long story short is thank you for joining us. There's a few things that I always touch on to make sure that everybody's aware of it. Doug is a licensed agent nationwide and the District of Columbia. You can reach him via email at dbj@mlmmailbag.com. You can check out our website at medicareforthelazyman.com. He already told you about all the different ways and forms that you can get his book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023. But if you can find a way to give us a rating on the podcast and the book, we would certainly appreciate it, because we are up against the wall always on ratings, as many podcasts are. So anyway, we'd certainly appreciate it. And I guess to sign off today, if you really haven't been keeping track on your watch, let me let you know, you have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, originally from Oklahoma, now in the high mountains behind Cave Creek, in his fortress of solitude that's built specifically for high altitudes. And I think today I'm going to clock him in at about 16,500 feet.
Oh, the air is very thin up here. But thank you so much, Randy. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us. We'll look forward to seeing you again next time. Bye-bye.